The Holy Roman Empire is the big loser. Germany is chopped up into 300-plus states. Protestantism is there to stay, and northern and north-central Germany, indeed, are almost completely Protestant now. There are almost borders that we could speak of. Germany itself as a country, as an area, is ruined. The international threat of the Habsburgs has for now been destroyed. And I would point out that 37 years later, Johann Sebastian Bach is born in north-central Protestant Germany. We now must turn our attention to the new Lutheran liturgy, because in separating themselves from the Catholic Church, Luther also felt a terrific need to create a new religious process that would enforce the reforms that he sought to create first within the church, but ultimately realized that he would have to create his own church and make these reforms the backbone of a new liturgy. In an otherwise increasingly secular world, and this is something we need to be aware of, Lutheranism was, to a great degree, the state. In central and northern Germany, my friends, there's no king. In central and northern Germany, there's no Holy Roman Emperor anymore. There's no country. There's just the local secular ruler, there's Luther, and Christ. I would go through the elements of Lutheran dogma that sets Lutheranism apart from Catholicism so we become aware of how revolutionary this dogma was compared to the Catholicism from which it sprang. First and foremost, the papacy is rejected, and in rejecting the papacy is also rejected the concept that one person has the sole ear to hear what God is saying on earth. This concept that there's a series of hierarchies through which we must go, first the priest and the bishop and the cardinal and the pope, and only then can we hear God, and when God speaks to the pope, and the pope speaks to the cardinals, the bishops and the priests. This whole concept of hierarchical communication with the deity is removed by rejecting the papacy. Two, the special supernatural character of the priesthood is rejected. Three, the religious leaders in the Lutheran community are generally called ministers, not priests. Four, ministers can marry. Five, generally, Latin is replaced with vernacular language. That means most of a service will be conducted now in German, a language that the parishioners understand. Now, by the way, this is not to say that all Latin is removed either from Lutheran ceremony or from Lutheran education. Martin Luther was, in many ways, a very unhappy and strict man. But in many other ways, he was also a man of his time, a Renaissance intellectual. And please remember what the Renaissance is all about. It's about the rediscovery of Greek and Roman models for thought, philosophy, art, architecture, and so forth. Martin Luther was intrigued by the great works of Latin writers, of Cicero, of Latin drama, and so forth. And he felt educationally everyone should be able to read these classics in their original. Number two, all Latin was not removed from the church either. And in certain Lutheran churches, lots of Latin was still used. If you recall in a previous lecture, I talked about the fact that one of the jobs of a cantor in any Lutheran church school was to teach Latin. And it was one of the most hated jobs. Bach did everything he could to avoid teaching Latin, as it would seem did almost all musicians of this era. So the teaching of Latin and the use of Latin, while not all-encompassing as it would have been in a Catholic ceremony, was not completely flushed out either. Rather, we have a balance between vernacular language and Latin. Luther denied transubstantiation, or the miracle of the blood. He rejects confessional and priestly absolution. He abandons saying of masses and prayers for the dead. He reduced the proper of the Mass to the Kyrie and the Gloria only. He declared that the one true source of Christian knowledge was the Bible, and that everyone must determine that truth for themselves. And the sermon replaces Holy Communion as the climax of the service. According to historian Jan Chiapuso, all the manifold and subsequently developed tenets of Lutheran theology spring from one germinal idea: the assurance of redemption given freely, without the mediation of a priest, by the grace of God. Man receives redemption only through his personal faith in God. He trusts Christ fully to fulfill his promise of forgiveness because of the sinner's true faith in Christ.